But just this morning, I kind of feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit in that to preach out of Luke chapter 23. And look in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. If I could for just a minute or two bring our attention to when he talks about and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. What a place. Many men had been to this same place. Many men, you pray for your preacher, okay? Many men had been to this place. They had died there, but never anybody like Jesus had ever went to this place. When we look at everything that is surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ up until this time, we know that he has done great works. We know that he has done great miracles. He has professed himself and that to be the Son of God, and which he is and which he was and which he'll always be. But yet they hated him for that very fact. And it was at this place that they wanted to take him to because they felt as though if they could kill him, that they could get rid of all their problems and that with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, you realize, I think most of y'all know this, that that Luke is the only place that calls it Calvary. Luke is the only one that mentions it by that name, but yet when we mention Calvary, especially around church people, we know what we're talking about. Now we sing that old song out of the Redback book sometimes, at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified. It was at Calvary that he was crucified. But we look at this and it talks about when they were come to the place. Do you realize that this is the place that that Pilate has stood out there and he said, I find no fault with this man, but yet I'll scourge him and let him go. But yet, when they would not go for that, he said, what do you want me to do with him? And they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And it was at Calvary that they took him and hung him up. If you look in Isaiah chapter 53, sometimes you'll find that friend, that is, it talks about what the Lord Jesus Christ done for us, that it was my sin and your sin that hung him at Calvary. Friend, it was my sin and your sin that took him there that day to pay for us. I always think sometimes that when God, in his infinite wisdom, when he created the world, I always think, I reckon when that little hill over there that we call Mount Calvary, I reckon he shed a tear in creation, knowing that his son was going to have to go there. Knowing that his son was going to depart from heaven and leave. And listen, when they were come to the place called Calvary, listen, that's why Jesus came. That's why he lived. That's why he died, was to go to that place so me and you could get saved. Listen, today when it talks about that place, Jesus went for me and you and hung an open naked shame. And what a place that Calvary. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this justice. But listen, it was that place. There was no other place like it in the world. There's never been another time like it in the world. That Jesus Christ the righteous died at that place for mine and your sins. I always wonder when that tree sprouted out of the ground that Christ was going to hang upon. I always wonder if God was watching that tree grow. And he knew that one day that they were going to carve a cross out of those trees and send his son to die for us. I kind of wonder about that stuff. Because see, in his infinite wisdom, he knows that. Today, think about this, he knows about you in his infinite wisdom, you see. But we find that when they come to this place, what's special about this place? This is the place that Christ went to, that he died for my sins. You realize that today, little John, 1 John chapter 2, I said, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. In other words, he pleased, and that the Father, by what he done at Calvary. I'm not telling y'all nothing most of y'all don't know, but we tend to forget it sometimes. We tend to forget about Calvary and we go on and live our life as though that, friend, that we have done some kind of good or that we have done some kind of righteousness. But listen, the only reason we're saved today is because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of him dying at Calvary in my place and in your place. Blessed is the man, ain't that what David said, in whom God will not impute sin. But listen, it was at Calvary, the doctrine of imputation, that God took my sin from me and poured it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wrath of God was poured out upon him. And he took my punishment and my shame. He took everything that I should have got. Hey, he bore that on Calvary because he loved me. Amen. I love that today. The place of Calvary. The place of Calvary. You look at the person of Calvary, and we find that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us. And there were also two other malefactors led with him. The person of Calvary. Now there's two other thieves hanging up there with him. But I'm going to tell you something. They didn't mean near what Christ did. Now I'm glad that one of them got saved. I'm glad they both didn't die and go to hell. Now, I'm thankful for that. I really am. I mean, they both railed on him at the start. But somewhere along that line, one of them, when we say the one on the right, I don't know if he was or not, but we say the one on the right was the one, friend, that accepted Christ. He says, don't you realize, I mean, the one on the left is railing on Christ. You know, if you be the Son of God, then get yourself down and get us off with you. He said, don't you realize that we're here where we belong, but this man has done nothing amiss. Hey, I'm telling you, the man, the person of Calvary, that day was there because of us, because of what we were going to do, what we were, what Adam had done in the garden, in dropping us all off into sin, all humanity. I was in sin, and because of him, we can get saved today. The person of Calvary. The person of Calvary. As I've heard old timers say, and they say, well, the Old Testament saints look forward to Calvary as we look back. And friend, I hate to break it to you, that ain't how it works. They didn't know nothing about Calvary. Them Old Testament saints weren't looking for a lamb. They were not looking for a Savior in the fact to go to Calvary. They were looking for a Messiah and that to come and rescue them. And that's the problem we've got today. Folk don't see the person of Calvary like they should. They keep looking at their self. And they keep wanting to do it their self. They want to get into heaven their self. I get there by their own works and hope and pray at the end of time. And when they meet death, they stand before God and God will weigh their good against their bad. I mean, the Bible said that where there's none good, no, not one. And so if God weighs our good against our bad, then our bad's going to outweigh our good every time. Because there's none good. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God, he said in Romans chapter 3. But listen, because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Calvary, it outweighs my sin. I'm so thankful for that today. The place of Calvary and the person of Calvary. I want you to look right here, and it says that they crucified him and the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left. Right there was my punishment taken. He was crucified. Do you realize that me and you should have died for our sin? We should have. You realize all down through time, all those little lambs and all those sacrifices, all those turtle doves, all those goats that had been sacrificed, all those things that had been slain and sacrificed down through time. Listen, that was just representation and type of the Lord Jesus Christ that was going to come and shed his blood. But there was nothing that we could do to escape the punishment for sin. But yet he did. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So as I look at this morning, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, have you ever been to that place? Have you ever seen the person of Calvary and realized the punishment that you're going to face one day without the person of Calvary? You know, we sing that old song, sometimes living in the shadow of the cross, and we sing as an invitational hymn sometimes about kneeling at the cross. Hey, listen, friend, I'm glad there was a day that I realized that I was lost, and I come to God, I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked him to save me, and he done that. But you've got to come to the place of Calvary. You've got to realize that where that old rugged cross hung. Well, we sing all them songs, you know, about how the old rugged cross, page 305, and how we sing at Calvary, and we sing there's power in the blood, you know, and are you washed in the blood? Listen, I'm glad today, friend, that I not only know the person of Calvary, I know that he took the punishment that was before me, but I have been to that place, and I know that it's real. Now, have I been over in Israel? No. But I found me an altar one night and found Calvary. I'm glad I got lost before I could get saved. That was the whole issue with salvation. Is a man, woman, boy, or girl has got to get lost. Got to get lost. And more, when you get lost, you can get saved. But until then, you can't do nothing with it. Until then, you'll never make it to the place of Calvary. Do you realize at that place, the whole world should have stood and wept and begged God to forgive them for what they had done. But here stands a little band of women and John, the disciple. And they're standing down at the foot of the hill, I believe. And they're watching what's taking place at Calvary. You say, preacher, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done that. Peter told him that he'd go all the way. We heard that last Sunday. Peter said, I'll go with you and I'll die with you. But when it come time, Peter denied him three times and said, I don't know the man. So here stood John and those women. And they're looking at the place of Calvary. They're looking at the person, the Son of God, hanging on Calvary. You know, if you look in Isaiah chapter 53, how did Isaiah describe him. It said that for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Folk didn't want him. Can I tell you, folk don't want him today? The person of Calvary. I'm telling you, if we could get folk to see him, if we could get folk to see Jesus, the lovely, the darling, Son of God, I'm telling you, it'd make a difference in their life. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we had, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The person of Calvary was never lifted. Can I tell you what we ought to do because of that place, church? Because of the place of Calvary. If you've been there, if you've been there at all, if you've ever gathered up and been to Calvary and nailed at the cross and asked him to save you and come into your heart and believed on him and trusted him, hey, listen, you should never forget the place of Calvary. That's where you met Christ at. That ought to still be exciting today. Or to still be exciting. You ever listen to that song when we sing at Calvary? It tells the whole story, you see. It tells the story about getting saved. It tells the story about how men and women spent their, you know, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified. It tells the whole story of the regeneration, if I can say it that way. That's a good Bible word. A regeneration and that of salvation in Christ Jesus the Lord. Years ago, I remember listening to the preacher preach out of Exodus chapter 12 and preaching on the blood of the Lamb, and he was talking about how that lamb, the Passover lamb, you know, it said to catch its blood in a basin. And he said, you know, they could have took that lamb, knocked it in the head, and throwed it over behind the bushes, but it wouldn't have done them no good. And had Christ not shed his blood at that place of Calvary, and him being the person of Calvary, who he was, in his perfection and in his righteousness. See, I'm afraid that I forget so many times what he'd done for me at Calvary. I don't want to escape that. I don't ever want to forget. I want it to be on the forefront of my mind that because of that place, men, women, boys, and girls, good men and good women and bad men and bad women, men that Brother Larry preaches to up there in the prisons, but he can save them. That man that hung at Calvary, he can save them. Ain't that something? And you know he saves church people too. That's what I was. I was just a church boy, growing up in church all my life, but still needed salvation. I needed him more than anything. And you know what? When he came into my heart, and this was the thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. This was the thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some things that's bothered me all my life. It took me a little bit to gain some knowledge on this out of his word with the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when I got saved, and when you got saved, there had to be a growing period. And that bothered me for a long time. Lord, why? Why had I struggled with this and struggled with that and struggled with this and struggled with that? Now I'm glad, listen, I still fight and I still battle. Don't misunderstand me. I just don't fight and battle with the same things that I did when I was 17, 20, 25, 30 years old. You ought to get some victory somewhere, sometime down the road. You'll get some victory over some things. But we've always got an adversary. Amen. I mean, you've got an adversary. I've got an adversary. But finally, one day, I was just sitting in my study and I was asking the Lord, Lord, why? Why did I struggle with this? Why did I have these problems? You know, I saved. And if I saved, why did I struggle with them? That'll eat your lunch if you let it. I mean, that will wire you out if you'll let it. And finally, he sent me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. When you took the book and began to learn. By the way, this is the person of Calvary. For there are three that by record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This book we have in front of us is the same person that hung at Calvary. Have you been to the place of Calvary? I've been there. I hope you've been there. You know, you go to the place of Calvary, you get to meet the person of Calvary. But you don't have to bear the punishment of Calvary. He bore it out. Let's bow our heads this morning.